The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. On Freedom 95, I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Today, honestly, we're just talking about health, which is kind of general when you think about it. But, you know, in light of just everything that has been happening, why is everyone losing their mind? And it's not like most people are losing their mind because they're fearful of losing their health. Right? Like this huge thing that's going on that literally is all consuming, right? There's not one person alive today who would have no idea what we're talking about in terms of the magnitude, right, of what's going on. Everybody knows because it's affected everyone's lives. And it all comes back down to one thing. Everyone is fearful of losing their health. It just really is eye-opening to me is because when it becomes forefront that it's a virus, right? This is a virus that's going around that everyone, because no one's really fearful of just having a cough or having a fever, right? Like the body fights those things. You know, if you can't breathe and then you die, right? We say, you know what's so important? What trumps everything else is your health. It trumps the economy, it trumps your business, like essential, non-essential workers, right? And it's all for one thing, is because we care and we love everyone and we're concerned about their health. But here's my question, right? And here's what I've really been thinking about, and it's been on my mind, is that, you know, honestly, for close to a decade now, I've had my practice open and we have talked day in and day out about what the number one most important thing in life is. You know, and it's always interesting because I ask people, what's the number one most important thing in your life? And they say, my spouse, right? My significant other is the most important thing in my life. My kids are the most important thing in my life. My job is the most important thing in my life, right? My husband, my kids, my grandkids, my job, all of these things are most important. But what I've had the fortunate or unfortunate opportunity to, depending on what viewpoint you take of this, is that I have been having people tell me that forever until they lose their health. And this is quite candidly why I really enjoy people in that healthcare field as patients in the office, is because they see what happens when individuals lose their health and the impact that it makes not only on that individual, the one that's sick, but more importantly, seeing the impact that it makes on everyone else around them. And so what we've done is we've put this fear, this fear forefront of our inability to retain our health, which we'll talk a little bit more about, like what is health? Like what is health? Where does it come from? You know, we talk all these times about boosting immune systems and like, but what is health? We'll talk a little bit about that today too. But I mean, when we look at great. So you have a loved one or a cousin or a your cousin's teacher's sister's brother-in-law, right? Like, who had this and they're really sick. And, you know, I know that people have been affected, but I make light of it. That's what I do when I get uncomfortable in situations. So, right. But like, we all know person of a person of a person of a person of a person whose second cousin's, you know, plumber's brother got it. But like, then all of a sudden they're like, we care about their health. We are so concerned about their health. We will do whatever it takes to make sure that that person lives and becomes healthy. And here's what blows my mind, right? Here's what blows my mind more than anything is, why have we not been this concerned about our health for the last 10 years? Why have we not been this concerned about health for the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Century? Like, why have we not been that concerned about health? And you can say, well, we have, but have we as a nation? Imagine if we put our energy towards knowledge of disease processes. One, I believe, and I didn't look these up, so it might be flip-flop, but 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 females in their lifetime statistically will be diagnosed with cancer. Right? 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 females. Imagine what our country would be like right now if we had a virus that 1 out of 2 men, 50% of men, 33% of females got in their lifetime. And when you look at the mortality rates on that cancer, it's typically higher than what we're seeing with any type of pneumonia, flu, virus, right? But it's crazy, because there's so much media coverage, because it's so forefront, because it's affecting everyone. It is affecting every single person's everyday life. Now we say, you know what? This health thing, that's really important. If I have to lose my job so that I stay healthy and my kids are... But for me, yes, I understand. This is a real thing that's happening, right? I acknowledge it. I know that people are being affected, whether it be from the virus itself or the unfortunate economic impact that it's having on, at this point, millions of people, right? But what if we took this mindset, right? And we fast forward however amount of time it's going to take, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, I'm not going to say 6 months, right? 2 months. And what if we were as diligent right now to maintaining our health and protecting ourselves as a host as we are right now in 5 years? What if every mainstream media post was talking about how to keep safe from heart disease? What if you're scrolling through your social media and every third or fourth article was talking about how the detriments of diabetes for lifetime health, right? How diabetes itself takes years to decades, depending on how controlled or uncontrolled it is, off of your life? What, and you thought about it every single day, that the food that you put in your body was going to feed disease or fight disease. And you knew every single bite that you took, every single, right? Because we think about everything that we touch and we got to wash our hands. Like, I still want you to wash your hands in 5 years, right? Okay, cool. So we're all on the same page there. I don't need any emails. But like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we have really brought this whole thing to a forefront that we will be willing to shut down a nation because we care that much about health. But yet when it comes to cancer, diabetes, heart disease, all of these diseases that our lifestyle has created for us, that we have done, because at this point we say, well, we just don't know. We're just sitting ducks, which I'm going to talk about that as well, in terms of who gets a virus and who doesn't get a virus. All right, we're going to talk about the host. But like, what if we put this much energy, focus, attention, media coverage on what, you know, toxic chemicals that, what if every single chemical that caused cancer was on a news feed that you knew you should stay away from, right? Like, what would our health look like differently in 5 or 10 years if, when this is all said and done, we put all of our energy and effort and focus on still keeping our health, and then not just saying, hey, if a virus is going to take us out, we're going to shut down the country, but if a disease does it, two disease. Do you know, on average, heart disease and cancer are the top two disease killers in the United States. You'll watch from year to year, it flips back and forth on which one's number one. Quite candidly, I don't even know what's number one right now, if it's heart disease or cancer, but they're always neck and neck. Statistically, what I found is that on average, the average American, 5 out of 6 Americans will suffer from one of those within their entire lifetime, heart disease or cancer. On average, 5 out of 6 Americans will suffer from heart disease or cancer in their lifetime. Right. And so when you look at strokes, heart attacks, death from cancers, recurrent cancers, metastasis of cancers, secondary from cancers, right? Like, I'll share very candidly that right now my grandmother is up staying with my father. She's at University of Chicago. She has cancer that spread throughout her entire body. They're doing some relatively new trial based genetically modified immune cells. She's in the hospital by herself for 3 weeks. You want to know what? If she got pneumonia right now, would you say pneumonia killed her? Or would you say that the cancer killed her? Because I can get pneumonia and fight it, but because I'm not immunocompromised, because she has cancer, then it's really, right? It's really not the pneumonia. It's not the flu. It's not the big bad virus that killed them. It's because they had an underlying condition. That's where we talk a little bit more about the host, what health is. But so I see this happening. I'm living it. It is my family. So when you talk about, like, I'm not sensitive to this matter, I will 100% disagree with you. It is forefront of mine because my grandmother's living through it right now. I'd love to be able to go visit her. But you want to know what? She's in isolation, self, for 3 weeks, going through this super horrendous, physically tolling, traumatic time in her life. So to tell me that it hasn't affected my family is 100% speaking without knowledge of what I personally am experiencing. But I will tell you what I do know is that if we could put in this focus, like, the one thing that I can say is we've come together, like, as a nation, we've come together to say, you know what? No one really wants to see more deaths in this. So, like, why can't we do that same thing with cancer? Why can't we do that same thing with heart disease? Why can't we do that same thing with diabetes? Like, when we look at that, I see our abilities and I see what we have the possibility of doing. And I see that it's put in a direction of one thing, but we've been suffering for our nation as a health for decades, and we've ignored it. It's just heartbreaking to see. So let's talk about, when we come back, what is health? If we're all striving for it right now, we're praying for it, we're praying over this nation that we can all just be healthy. Like, what is health and where does it come from? And I'll tell you exactly where next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
That's what we see. Everywhere we look around, we see victories. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out on Facebook, social media platforms. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. I was trying to think if we had, like, a special name. Oh, man. I want to say like it's been a long day, but it hasn't. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. All right. So we talked a little bit. Like, it's just so all consuming. And I said before I wasn't going to talk about it. But I honestly, this is the one. We have to talk about health, what it is, where we find it. You know, because, so what we look at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, let's talk about this. Our goal is to restore function, to restore healing. And we really work through that through the five essentials. So max mind, maximizing your nervous system, minimizing toxins, maximizing your nutrients, and maximizing your oxygen and lean muscle, right? That's our goal. What's really cool in our office is we just see this like array of people who come in, just this awesome array. So for example, I saw a patient last week who came in, 45 years old, just was, you know, walking around, woke up one morning, back went out. Had done it on and off, but never to this extent, right? And usually could do some stretching, some strengthening, seemed to feel okay. And this time it was just a little bit different. And walked in with a cane, 45 years old, because he couldn't walk. He was in so much pain. And I always have to, I will often, not all the time, but I'll often go through initial exam consultations. So when I see these people and they come in and they're just in tears and they're crying and they're in so much pain, or they feel terrible, and they say, I know that this isn't what I'm supposed to feel like. And I'll smile. And it's probably awkward for you guys sitting on the other side of the room. But here's the blessing that I get to see every single day is that was probably the beginning of the week before last. And then last week when he came in, he had no cane, standing up straight. And I'm like, well, who is this? Right? And he's like, I'm not 100%, but I am better. Good. It's only been a week. Right. And so what's really amazing is that every day I get to wake up and help restore function and healing to individuals who come into the office, because that's changed everything. Life with his wife, life with his mom. And so when I smile, it's because I know the potential. And that's probably one of the best things, is that when people come into the office, they think, this is just my body. It's failed me. I'm broken, right? I don't know how to become well. And the biggest thing that I get to see every single person who walks through our front doors is potential. Whether it be the first time, whether it be the 100th time, whether it be the 1,000th time you've walked through those doors, there is potential for health, life, longevity, and healing. And so the best part about that is that I get to see that. The more awkward part about that is that when you feel terrible and you're like in so much pain and crying, I still have the awkward, I see potential smile. It's really cool. It's really awesome. But then you have to figure out, getting back to all of this, is like, okay, so if health is important to you, right? Like, you'll cross the country, you'll go across the world to restore and regain your health. Where does health come from? And so when you look more specifically at the World Health Organization, right? World Health Organization, also known as the WHO. You've probably heard a lot about them recently with all the news articles. So the World Health Organization defines health positively as, quote unquote, a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Again, a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. I think that this speaks volumes. Think about, we've seen people who physically are not healthy, right? And oftentimes that physical, you know, just talked about it, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, right? That's not a state of complete physical health. Mental health, right? You can see this through anxiety, depression, Alzheimer's, dementia, right? I have an individual that I know who they believe has mild cognitive impair, onset of early Alzheimer's. If you look at this individual's body, body's perfect, right? Clear arteries, no cancer, sugar levels are great, proper weight, exercises, but yet mentally not in a state of complete health. Social well-being. All of us are experiencing this right now. Social well-being. I do love my family, and it has been an amazing time to be able to spend the quality of time together with my family that I have been blessed with, but blessed with time and blessed with the family. But I saw like a little meme or something on social media the last couple of days that said, I really need to invest in hobbies that aren't just eating out. It's just like, You know, but like everything's social. Like, it's just, okay, all right. So what do? You know? So is that health, social well-being, and not just merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Just because you don't have a virus or a bacterial infection doesn't mean you're healthy. Just because you feel great doesn't mean you're healthy, right? State of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of sickness or disease. That's cool when you think about that, right? Health is your body's ability to heal and function at 100%, not just merely the absence of sickness or disease. The root word inside health is heal, right? Health controls all healing inside of your body. So then we have to get back to, okay, so what controls all healing inside of the human body? What controls every single cell, organ, and tissue, whether that be your heart, your lungs, your pancreas, your immune cells, right? What controls that? Answer, your central nervous system, your brainstem and spinal cord. People often think with chiropractic, we do. We 100% deal with musculoskeletal, the gentleman who walked in with a cane, week later walked in without a cane. You know, that's amazing. But when you look at some of the asymptomatic benefits of chiropractic, whew, those are ones where I challenge you. Like, this is my best thing. When someone says, don't see a chiropractor once, because once you see him once, you have to see him for the rest of your life. And I said, you know who's speaking to that? Someone who's not educated about the human body. Because tell me this, that's like saying, hey, don't have a salad. Because if you eat a salad once, you might feel great. There's tons of health benefits. And once you eat a salad once, you'll probably want to eat a salad for the rest of your life. Right? Like, that's laughable. It's laughable. You would say, no, do this because this is what makes you healthy and strong. This is what we do. Yet if you're not educated about the nervous system, the function, the potential, the healing component of the nervous system, you would fall in that regards to say, hey, don't get adjusted once, because then you have to get adjusted for the rest of your life. Because the people that are educated say, hey, I had a salad once and I want to eat a salad for the rest of my life. Don't go to the gym once. You might feel good, positive endorphins. You might want to go to the gym for the rest of your life, right? Of course you want to go to the gym for the rest of your life because you have an understanding. You've been taught about the importance of what that does for your health, right? And so if you say don't get adjusted once, because once you get adjusted once, you'll want to get adjusted for the rest of your life, then you know what? It's the same regard. You just haven't been educated about the benefits of an adjustment, the function, and allowing and that release for that potential and healing of that central nervous system. That's what chiropractic is, right? We also help with back pain and headaches. So, side note, symptom care. But like function and healing, that central nervous system, we look at the bones for what they surround and protect, which is base of the brainstem, the spinal cord, and the exiting nerves. When those bones shift out of alignment, it puts compression on the nerves. The body's not has the ability to function and heal the way it's intended. It's oftentimes where we see symptoms. So, function and healing. So wouldn't it be great, again, if we can put that mindset of health and healing? And so we think about, okay, so then we have this host, right? We have this person, we're hosts. Think about it, if there are no people or animals, could bacteria and virus, like viruses more specifically, thrive? No, they need a host. They need a host. Now, this is where we talk about the germ theory. Germ theory versus terrain. Germ theory versus terrain. So what's the germ theory? So Louis Pasteur, who was, he was known to like discover the germ theory. So he promoted the germ theory. In that we have germs and germs make people sick. It's basically the long and short of it. We have germs, bacteria, virus, and they make us sick. But here's just still where I get back to, you know, that theory. Again, known as the father of immunology, and he popularized the theory that disease involves a simple interaction between a specific microorganism and a host, right? So in his focus, it was very single-minded. He focused on the germ side of the equation and totally ignored the hosts and discounted the influence of environmental factors, conveniently dismissing social responsibility for disease, right? He basically said, well, if there's a germ, you're going to get it. And this is what we're living in right now. If there is a germ, everybody's going to get it. But if you look at the actual real numbers, people who have underlying pre-existing conditions, i.e. my grandma who has cancer and has been struggling with cancer for the last 4 or 5 years, spread everywhere in her body, right? The way that that one virus affects her versus the way that that virus affects me is different. Why? Why is that? It's not a different virus. It's not a different virus. It's a different host. It's a different host. That's why I was actually reading something. I wish I would have saved it. It was really interesting because they talk about how really off the bat with this whole like quarantine idea, like we almost have it wrong. Because other countries who have seen exponentially less numbers in terms of positive cases and deaths separated the immunocompromised from everyone else. They separated the immunocompromised from everyone else. Put all of the immunocompromised in one area, right? Don't allow them to get it. But what happens is we're taking families of all ages, immunocompromised, not immunocompromised, all against the board, and we're shoving them one home. Like, ugh. So it was really interesting to kind of to take their part on what that would look like if we just decided to quarantine differently, right? So why would we not focus more on strengthening the host to make it an undesirable place for that virus to be? There's an article that I read more recently even, and it came from Science Direct, Integrative Considerations During COVID-19 Pandemic. And this has been known for a while, but they talk about zinc and zinc intake and how literally zinc can prevent entry into cells, like prevent virus entry into cells. I read another article that talked about how it like helps with like unraveling the genetic sequence of it, DNA, RNA. Just so interesting. It's so interesting. There's another thing on here that talks about how EGCG, if you remember this, I remember that, gosh, this had to be like mid-90s. EGCG was like all the rage for like memory. I remember my mom had a bunch of supplements with it. But it comes from green tea. Has antiviral activities against a wide range of DNA and RNA viruses, especially in early stages of infection by preventing viral attachments, entry, and membrane effusions. So this is literally saying you're being exposed to a virus, but your body has all of these things that it can do to act as a natural antiviral to break down its DNA and RNA, doesn't allow for viral attachment, right? So if you get exposed to a virus, well, guess what happens if it doesn't attach, if it doesn't enter, if it doesn't fuse into the membranes? If you go and literally have what your body has is strong enough to literally make it an antiviral in terms of denaturing the DNA and RNA of these, do you think that would look different if that same person had a compromised immune system or didn't have a proper level of zinc, curcumin, ECGC, EGCG, right? Like vitamin C, all of these things, vitamin D. Like what if you had two people the same, but one was fully loaded and locked and full of natural, healthy antiviral. Their body's healthy and strong and the other one isn't. Let's talk. So is that a problem? Or is that a host problem? And again, I understand that there are some things out of our control, right? At this point, for example, my grandmother, we're doing our best. You still have to protect, but we know that she's immunocompromised. So it's just when you look at those things, like, why don't we focus on things that we can focus on? Why don't we focus on strengthening the host? And what if we did put such money and ideas into increasing our health, when they say that, hey, over 99% of these people who are dying from this virus have an underlying pre-existing condition. So then it is important, right? So you know it's going to save your life, or if we have one of these again, or even now, is paying attention to your health. Things like doing what we can to prevent diabetes, heart disease, cancer, so you become a less desirable host for anything. Germs, bacteria, virus, disease process altogether. Let's do what we can do. Let's control what we control to be an unattractive host. One thing that I want to talk about when we come back is, who do you want to be during this? Fear zone, learning zone, growth zone. Talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, or you can email us, info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam consultation is just $25. Now, today, I've realized that this point, okay, so let me give you an example, because here's really where my thought process has started from initially. So we had one baby who was 10 months old, And then, surprise, God had a plan for us that we didn't, and it was baby number two. So there's that. Anyways, the reason why, and usually you're like, oh, this is, it was a blessing. I know that God has a purpose for him, right? I 100% believe that. And there was a plan in all of this. Maybe I still have not seen why. But so my kiddos are 18 months apart, and my second was born 2 months after, two months into a 10-month deployment. So I was a single mom trying to run a business with an 18-month-old and a newborn by myself. Mind you, I'm not from here. We have no family, zero family. Our closest family member lives 3.5 hours away, right? So it's just us, or should I say me, right? And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. Newborn phase is incredibly hard. 18-month-old, if you have one of those or you know about those, they are not self-sufficient in any regard. Like, oh man. Yeah, no, it was rough, right? And here's what I had told myself, and I'm proud of myself for, is that I said, I have one or two options that I could do right now. Is that I could set and be content in the mindset that we're gonna survive this. We'll get through it. We'll come out on the other side. We'll be victorious, right? Like, I see a victory. We'll do it. And I said the other path that I could take, and it 100% was in my hands, and it was 100% my thought process in all of it, was that I could thrive through this all. Because I realized what I didn't want is to pick my head up and realize that I have this beautiful 8-month-old, this beautiful 2-year-old, and I survived that 8 months. And so I said, I don't want to do that. I want to look at that time and be like, we thrived through this. It was fun. We made memories. We changed a lot of diapers. And again, by we, I mean me. Right? But like, am I going to survive through this, or am I going to thrive through this? And I'm going to grow through this. I'm going to come out a different person, a better person, a stronger person. And I realized that this time is no different. Though different scenarios, 100%. It's what are we going to do? And so I saw this, and I'll post it to our social media, but I really resonated with the whole fact that this is exactly what I'm talking about. So are you going to sit in that fear zone, right? Are you going to sit in the fear zone where your stomach hurts, you're cranky, and all you spread emotions related to fear and anger? You're the people who run out and stockpile food and toilet paper that you don't need. Like, I remember going out the first week and like all of the Advil and Tylenol were gone. And I remember I was looking for like rubbing alcohol or something. So that's why I was over in that area. And I'm like, what do you need this for? What do you need this for? What are you doing? Stop it. Stop it. Are you the one who consistently complains? Are you the one that gets mad easily? Like that person, right? Like, are you that person who's just like, no one really wants to be around you. No one really wants to talk to you. Or are you going to take a step out of that? And when you take a step out of that, you start living in the learning zone. And so you start to give up what you can't control, right? We can't control how long, or, you know, like we talked about before, control what you can control. Part of that is your immune system. You can stop consuming what hurts, right? We did, recently we did like a 14-day virtual wellness challenge. If you don't follow us on social media, I highly encourage it. We're kind of fun. But like, one of it was a 2-hour fast from the news. I will tell you, over the weekend, I got into like a wormhole, and I was just on social media, and I was looking at news articles and all of this stuff. And it was a physical feeling, and it wasn't a good one that I felt after that hour. And so I've dedicated to myself, you know what, like, I'll do my like fun stuff on social media that we always do. So it's like, okay, you know, you know, like, you have to protect your mind. That's it. You have to protect your mind. And that's what I do. I can't do it anymore, right? You have to get out of that. Stop compulsively consuming what hurts you. Step away from it. If it's news, if it's food, right? Because now we're like all bakers. And like, is it? Stop. Identify your emotions, right? Like, you can say, I'm fearful of what this looks like, of the economy and my job and care for my children. Like, you can identify. You can become more aware of the situation and think about how to act. You can evaluate information before spreading something. You can recognize that we're all trying to do our best. Right? Or, right after that, you can take the next step in the bigger step. And we can go into growth. Like, how amazing would it be if you can take a step back in a year from now and say, you know what happened during this whole pandemic, that everything was shut down? Do you know I was able to read a book a week during that time? Do you know I was able to spend the best quality of time with my children? And it made me realize that I didn't do enough of it beforehand, right? In the growth zone, you look at thinking about how you can help others. You look at how you can make your talents available to those who need them. You can live in the present and focus on the future. You can thank and be appreciative to yourself, your loved ones, others. Keep a happy emotional state and spread hope. I can't tell you that a good majority of our people in the office are just great. Loving, amazing. I'm always so blessed to look at the people we have in our office and so thankful that they were placed there, not by accident. I know that 100%. But I encourage people who want to be crabby at my team, who's doing their best, and their best, quite candidly, is amazing. Be kind. Spread hope. Change your emotional state, because no one wants to fall back into that fear zone. Look at a new way to adapt to changes. I will tell you very candidly that no, I will not accept this as a new normal. I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and she said, well, this is just the new normal. No, it's not. This is not a new normal. It's not, because this is not sustainable. This is not sustainable, but you know what we're going to do now? We're going to look for new ways to adapt to this change and figure out, great, we can't go to parks. Man, we've got a backyard. How do we make a park-ish idea out of our backyard? You know, like, what type of games do I have to do now with my kids in my own yard, as opposed to just bring them to the park, right? I'm going to look for ways to adapt to new changes. Chicken, right? Thank goodness I had some chicken, and we have half of a cow in my deep freeze. But like, guess what? We can't find chicken anywhere. So I'm going to adapt to recipes without chicken. Like, it's just those things. You know what? Like, cool. So for the first 2 weeks, we didn't have eggs. You know what's great? My kiddo, we thought, had an egg allergy, so we had to do egg alternatives. I used chia seeds and water if I wanted to do things without eggs. Super cool. But here's what we have to do. We need to practice quiet, patience, practice on building relationships, focus on expanding creativity. Be grateful if this didn't happen the beginning of January when there was no sun, right? Like, look, there's so much that we can be grateful for this time. And the biggest thing is that it all comes from your mind. It all comes from your mind. Who do you want to be during all of this? Do you want to come out and say, I'm smarter, I'm faster, I'm stronger, I'm more educated? Are you going to come out of this and say, you know what? That was miserable. It was awful. I yelled at people. You know, I hoarded a whole bunch of chicken and toilet paper. That's the smart thing to do during a pandemic. You know, like, just figure out who we need to be. And let's do more of that. Like, let's make this a time that we look back and say, that gave me an opportunity. It was something that I had posted. It was, in a rush to return to everyday life, let's figure out what we need to rush back to. Right? Like, what is it? Do we need to rush back to all of these things? In the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to. That was it. In the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to. It's been great for me, right? But let's get back down. Simple. Health, healing, what you can control, empowering others. So if there's one thing that you got out of here, it's not how many milligrams of vitamin C or vitamin D or EGCG to take. It's that the first thing that you can control is your mind. And once you start changing that mindset and the viewpoint, everything else will change and follow. Pay attention to your health. It's important. Because when you think that heart disease is a silent killer, isn't going to make you more apt to have something else later, let's do what we can do to be proactive on taking control of our health and being the best people that we can be and loving on each other through the way. It's what it's about. Life is short. Let's make the best of it while we're here. Thanks so much for tuning in. I always look forward to next week, but remember that your power is on.